What a powerful weekend. Started on Friday night and it was raining and people were saying, well, no, we can't do Godstock. We can't have worship. We can't have the preaching of the Word of God because it's raining. You know what God did? He caused the rain to do this around the campground. And He caused the rain to stop for a moment so that Pastor Jamie was able to get up and preach with power the Word of God. And seven people gave their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ Friday night. Amen. And then Saturday night, last night, we were up there and it was beautiful weather and Pastor Steve stood to preach with boldness the Word of God. And I can't even tell you how many people gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ last night. And so right now, it's in 5 minutes, it'll start at Barren River Lake State Resort Park at the beach. Upwards of 40, maybe 50, maybe 60 people will go into the water to be like Charles and profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's awesome, pal. I'll tell you what, our God is so good. And that's who you've come to hear from today. You haven't come to hear from me. Most of you don't even know me, and I like it that way because you don't care who I am. I pray you would hear from God. I pray I would hear from God today. Amen. God tells us that the Bible is living and active, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And that begins to divide and to split and to point out things in our lives that do not bring life, so that we might be exposed to Jesus, that He might bring us life. And so the prayer today is really simple. And I want to tell you, this message today, I pray is an encouragement to you. We're going to talk about a text that for years has bewildered me. We're going to talk about a text that for years has made me go, huh? But we're going to talk about a text that when you understand what the Apostle Paul is saying, what an encouragement. Because I don't know, how many of you in your walk with Christ ever struggle with sin? Anybody? All right, good. It's important that you raise your hand because there's some people in here this morning who are here for the first time, maybe at church for the first time, and they think you've got it all figured out. Are they right? They think I've got it figured all out because somebody put pastor in front of my name. And my wife is here somewhere, and she will be glad to list off for you how I do not have it right. And so if today you're visiting and you're wondering what is this church thing about, I can assure you, you're in good company. You're in a room filled with people who have messed up. Amen? You're in a room filled with people who have got it wrong more than we got it right. But you're in a room full of people who have been transformed by Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's the big thing. We don't want to hang up on we get it wrong. We want to hang up on Jesus gets us right. Right? So that's the message today. Let's pray together. Father, today I pray that you would speak and that we would hear. Lord, please don't let anything come out of my mouth that is not of you, because we don't want to hear from me. Father, we want to hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray that today you would speak your heart to our heart and that we would leave this place having been encouraged, having been challenged, and having been sent out to live the life you've called us to live. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We're going to Romans chapter 7 this morning. So if you have your Bible, go on and flip open to Romans chapter 7. If you don't have your Bible, don't feel bad. We'll put it up on the screen. It's giant print, so you'll be able to see it. But the Apostle Paul has written his letter to the church at Rome. And if you've ever read through Romans, you know it is not something you read right before you go to bed. It's thick. It's very dense. It's very weighty. God communicates some powerful truths through his letter, Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And we're coming, and the Apostle Paul has spent the first seven chapters talking about things like sin, talking about things like grace, talking about how the law of God, the Ten Commandments, shows us where the sin is in our lives. The Apostle Paul says, I wouldn't have known what coveting was. And I wouldn't have known that it was a sin if God had not listed in the law, do not covet. Coveting, by the way, is wanting what your neighbor has, which is what we in America do every day, don't we? Oh, I just wish I could live up to where they're at. I wish I could have that house. I wish I could drive that car. I wish I could float around in that boat. I wish I could ride that motorcycle. That's what we do. And so we give our lives over to pursuing that goal, and once we get that thing, it usually breaks and tears up, and all of a sudden, our problem is that what we wanted so badly is no longer giving us the life we thought it would give. But the Apostle Paul says that the law, the Ten Commandments, is powerless to save you. Bottom line, the Ten Commandments are powerless to save you. You can post them. When I was a kid, I went to the Christian bookstore and I got a little plaque with the Ten Commandments on it, and I set it on my nightstand because I thought that would make me holy. Some of y'all knew me when I was in high school. Did it work? Oh, okay. I'd get crosses and put them up in my room because I thought that would make me holy. And you know what I found out I could do? I could take the cross down off the wall and still do whatever it was that I shouldn't be doing. The law can't save you, but what the law can do is show you where there is sin in your life that you might repent. Well, the Apostle Paul's been talking about all these things, and he comes to a point where he gets very confessional. And I'm going to be very confessional with you today, and maybe together we can be confessional and we can get some truth out, because once the truth comes out, there's the possibility for freedom. Amen. Romans chapter 7, beginning in verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, we know that the law is spiritual. He's kind of, people could take it like he was bashing on the law. He wasn't. He now says, we know that the law is spiritual, that it's from God, that it's a good thing. But then he says, the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. How many of you have been there before? I don't get what I do. For the good, he says, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. You ever been there? My wife and I just had a little baby. He's 5 months old. Y'all ask me about him all the time, and I say, he's growing like a weed. I can't make him quit. And he is. I mean, he's getting bigger. He's getting better looking every day. He looks more and more like me every day. And so we're so thankful for that. And the reason we're thankful for that is this. We know that the Lord might bless us with a little girl one day. And so if the little boy looks like me, maybe by the grace of God, the little girl will look like her mother. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. If she doesn't, we ain't never going to get rid of her. When we die, she'll just switch bedrooms in the house. Can you imagine me as a woman? It's bad. And so, yeah, we want him to look like me. Maybe he can get by on personality like me. We just had a little boy, and one of the things we want to do is we want to teach him, just like you taught your children, the difference between right and wrong. Right? We want him to know the difference between right and wrong. And that's a great goal. But here's the truth. Just knowing the difference between right and wrong doesn't mean you're going to do the right and flee from the wrong. Amen? I run our jail ministry here, and so many times I'm visiting the jail, and people who have literally had problems. I mean, they've made mistakes, they've gotten into issues, and the difference between them and many of us is they got caught. Okay? That's the only difference. But as I talk to people, and I go visit them, you know, you hear, well, I'm a good boy, I'm a good girl, I just messed up. And I agree. Listen, you just made a mistake. You've made some of the same mistakes I made. And again, you just got caught. But here's the fallacy in that. Whether you're in jail or you're free, whatever you are, you're not a good boy and you're not a good girl. The bottom line is I can teach my son right from wrong all day long. But until he is transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, he ain't going to do right and he ain't going to flee from wrong. That's the bottom line. There's got to be a transformation. The Apostle Paul says, listen, I'm a believer in Jesus and I don't understand what I do. So many times, I know what's right, and I want to do what's right. And every time, I fail. Any of y'all resonate with that this morning? You agree? Yeah. Let me tell you, this life in Christ is a fight. I'll tell you, it's a fight. There's three things. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's three things that are going to try to pull you away from Christ. Three things. The first is the enemy. Y'all know we have an enemy?
Yeah.
Satan. You've heard his name, the devil, this guy. He's going to try to pull you away from Christ. The Bible says if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he can't have you, but what he can try to do is derail you. Does that make sense? And the Bible says about our enemy that he is a liar and the father of all lies. And so here's how he works. And I want you to know, because I coach football and every Sunday morning we sit down and we scout the opposing team. Because if we know what they're going to do, we can do something to prevent it or attack it. And so I want you to know what the enemy's going to do so you know it's coming. Okay? Bible says he's a liar and the father of all lies. And so here's what he does. He's going to speak a lie into your ear. You'll hear it. It'll manifest in your mind. You'll get it. It'll sound something like this. You're not good enough. Jesus couldn't really forgive all that sin. It'll sound something like this. You remember that one? You remember that one sin? That big one that you don't tell anybody about? You remember that one? Jesus couldn't forgive you of that. I want you to know today, that's a lie. There's no sin that Jesus can't forgive. Jesus can forgive that sin, and so it's a lie. So I want you to know when it comes, to know what it is. It's a lie out of hell. What happens, though, is we sometimes start to believe the lie. And all of a sudden, it goes from our mind to the pit of our gut. Has this ever happened to you? It's happened to me, where your gut kind of tenses up thinking about some of the things you've done. And you kind of get that nauseated feeling, that sick feeling. And in that moment, the enemy hasn't taken you away from Christ, but he's kind of veered you off course. Because now you're not concentrating on God, you're concentrating on that sin. And how do I fix it? And how do I pay for it? When the truth is that Jesus has already paid the full price for it. And there's nothing left to be paid. But that's what the enemy is going to try to do. Some of you, when you leave this place today, as soon as you get out the door, hey, that preacher, he's just a young guy. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about, but this does. This does. And so you say, okay, maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about, but he preached the Word of God, and God's Word is true no matter what. And God's Word is powerful no matter what. And God's Word is effective no matter what. So the enemy will try to steer you off course. Second thing they'll try to steer you off course is the world, okay? And not like the dirt, not the earth itself. But there is an attitude of the world. And that attitude is get whatever you can while you can get it, right? Work your life away trying to pursue some lofty financial goal and then die. And step on whoever you have to step on to get there, right? That's what the world says. There's a lot of folks who follow Christ who get wrapped up in the ways of the world in trying to pursue success, what the world calls successful. And I want you to hear today that if you will submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will succeed. And I don't know what success looks like. Success may look like you digging a ditch for the rest of your life. Or success may look like you being the top CEO of the top Fortune 500 company. I don't know. But the successful part is not where you land. The successful part is that in the midst of it, you submit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already won the victory. That's success. So the enemy will try to pull you away. The world will try to pull you away. And the third one, and this one for many of us is one of the most difficult, our flesh. Our flesh. Paul said, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. And the NIV translates the word flesh into sinful nature. How many of you all struggle with sin that feels good? Listen, I'm just going to be real honest with you. I don't ever struggle with sin that I think is nasty. Sin never looks nasty to me when I'm tempted. It looks great. It's never an ugly woman that walks by. It's a good-looking one. You see what I'm saying? It's never a tofu block. It's a T-bone steak. You see what I'm saying? Sin is attractive for a moment, and it will give you pleasure for a moment. I used to work with young folks all the time, and I still do. I say, well, premarital intercourse feels good. And, I mean, we're dumb if we lie to them. Well, no, it'll feel horrible. No, it'll feel good for a second. for a second. It's the ramifications that don't feel good. It's the next morning that doesn't feel good. It's going to the doctor that doesn't feel good. But intercourse in marriage feels good because it is good. Because it's ordained by God. Okay? The flesh wants to please itself. And so if you struggle with sin that feels good, it's because this ain't dead yet. Okay? And as long as this is alive, it's going to wage a war. And it's going to say, make me feel good. You know, I know you could go eat a carrot stick, but that box of half a dozen donuts feels a lot better.
Amen?
Amen? I mean, I'm just telling you my struggle. You could drink a bottle of water, but that half case of Bud looks a lot better and it'll feel better, right? Somehow it's colder going down, right? Listen, the flesh will want what feels good for a moment. The Spirit in Christ will want what is good for all eternity. Does that make sense? It is a fight to live this life with Christ. And I am so encouraged by reading the Apostle Paul's letter when he says, I do not get what I do. This is the Apostle Paul, wrote one third of the New Testament, spread the gospel all throughout the Mediterranean region. He's the reason the church spread in the power of God. And he's saying, I don't get what I do. It's a struggle, guys. I want to tell you this, and be clear on this. If you are a believer and you're struggling with sin, thank God. I talked with a guy the other day who called. He's getting baptized probably right now. And he called, he said, I want to get baptized. I've given my life to the Lord, but I got to ask you a question. I said, what's up, man? And he said this. He said, I've given my life to the Lord, but man, I still struggle with some of my old things. I still struggle with some of those old patterns and those old sins I used to go back to over and over and over again. I said, well, let me ask you one question. Before you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, did you struggle with them or did you just walk right into them? He said, well, man, I just walked right into them. I said, so now that Jesus is in your life, now it's a struggle, right? He goes, yeah. I said, there's a reason. The Holy Spirit is in you, convicting you and telling you that's sin. And that it's going to kill you and that it's not good for you and that it doesn't give a good witness to the Father. I'm going to tell you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the ways you can be sure that you are saved is when you try to sin. If you can sin with no conviction whatsoever, come to this altar today and get saved. If you can sin and the Holy Spirit is not speaking to you and telling you that that is sin, please come to this altar today, repent and believe and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life because you're not saved. You say, well, that's a hard teaching. When people tell me I'm fat and need to lose weight, that is also a hard teaching. But that doesn't mean it's not true. If the Holy Spirit is in you, He will awaken you to the sin in your life. Listen, if you're cheating on your spouse and you have no remorse until you get caught, come get saved. Bottom line, if the only remorse you have is in getting caught, come give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Holy Spirit will lovingly torture you if you are in Christ. Amen. If I'm in Christ, God's going to expose sin to me because that's not what He has for me. That's not what He has for me. And I want to tell you, in preparing for this message, it was very difficult because the enemy kept bringing up sins from the past. Bunches of them. And I don't know about y'all, I got bunches of them, okay? Many that if you knew about, you would not listen to me today. But in Jesus Christ, all those are what? Forgiven, gone, separated as far as the east is from the west, cast into a sea of forgetfulness. They're gone. Now some of you know. But they're covered in the blood of Jesus. It's a fight to follow Christ. Verse 21. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to tell you something today about your salvation. It's not fair. It's not fair that you're saved. It's not fair that I'm saved. You and I, we all want what's fair. We all want what's just. Right now, the political campaigns are going on, and both presidential candidates are going, well, we want to get you what's just, and we want to get you just what's fair for you. But I'm going to tell you today, you don't want fair, and I can prove it to you. When I'm driving on the road just about every day, I get behind somebody or in front of somebody that I would describe with a certain name that I'm not going to say because there's children here, but I'll spell it. It's I-D-I-O-T. Y'all know that word? I get surrounded by them on the road. Any of y'all? Yeah, I do. And I have this unbelievable desire. You remember those old detective shows from like the 70s and 80s where they just drove around in their normal car, but they had this little siren sitting on their dashboard. And when they saw something go down, they could just roll down the window and set it up and woo, 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 and undercover cop gets them. I have this fantasy that I would have that siren and I would have that ability to stick it up on top of my car and go get them and give them a ticket for $1 billion. Because they're making our roads unsafe, right? Friday, I was on my way up to Godstock. We were finishing setting up, and I'm getting on down the road, 31E. And now keep in mind, I'm a righteous man. I want to make sure that those who are breaking the law come to justice. And I come over a hill, and there is a state trooper with his radar gun pointed at me. And all of a sudden, my plea went not from justice to mercy. Please don't pull me over. Please don't pull me over. Please don't pull me over. Yeah. When it's you, I want justice. When it's me, mercy. Right? I've never been in a courtroom with somebody who's been convicted of a crime that wanted justice. Have you? No. We want mercy when it's us. But when it's you, we want justice. Right? I want to tell you today, you don't want fair from God. You know what fair from God is? You are totally obliterated. The first time you sinned, fair from God, whenever that time was that you would be tortured in hell for all eternity for one sin. Because the Bible says you break one of God's laws, you've broken all of them. Fair is not God sending His Son to pay the price for you. Fair is me paying the price for my own sin in hell for eternity. I don't want fair. You don't want fair. But God is just. And this is what God did because He is just. Somebody had to pay the price for that sin. Somebody. It was either me or somebody else. And the only person who could pay the price for that sin was God Himself. And so He sent His Son, Jesus. And Jesus came and He did what you and I can't do. He lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father. Did you know that? Jesus never sinned. Over and over and over and over in His life, He submitted Himself to the Father's will to the point that when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, as sweat dropped from His head, and the Bible said it was such thick sweat that it was as drops of blood, in His moment of greatest misery, in anticipation of the cross that was to come, He said, Father, not my will, but yours be done. He totally submitted Himself. And let me tell you about the justice of God. Isaiah 53 tells us that God the Father was pleased to crush His Son for you. Did you hear me? If you don't hear anything, hear that. That God the Father was pleased to crush His Son for you and me. You say, well, I didn't know that was in there. Yes, that's in there. Who killed Jesus? Yeah, the Jews did. The Jewish ruling council. Yeah, the Romans did. The Romans crucified Him. But Jesus went to the cross because the Father sent Him. And Jesus himself said, no one takes my life from me, but I lay it down freely. God, in his great justice, sent one to pay the price for your sin and for my sin. And once Jesus paid that price, there was justice. Today, if you doubt God's love for you, look to the cross. Look to the cross. See the only begotten Son of God with the life ringing out of him for you. That is the love of God. We tend to sentimentalize it. We tend to make it a bumper sticker. We tend to make it a t-shirt. Jesus loves you. If you really want to know how much Jesus loves you, look to the cross. For at the cross you will see the depth of his love for you today. Your salvation isn't fair, neither is mine. Until we come to terms with our own wretchedness, like Paul did, what a wretched man I am. Until we come to terms with our own wretchedness, we will never understand the depth of God's mercy. Here in South Central Kentucky, you go to the funeral home and you hear it. Well, I'm a pretty good person. He was a pretty good person. She was a pretty good person. There's no such thing as a pretty good person. There are people who are going to die and go to hell because they are sinners. And God chose to rescue those who would receive him. And some of you may be in this room and you think, well, I'm a pretty good person. I just need a little help from Jesus to get on up to heaven. No, that is not the case. You have no leg to stand on, and Jesus must come and lift you and carry you all the way to heaven. There's no ladder you can climb. There's no stairway you can climb. Jesus must himself come down and get you. And the good news is he has. He has, if you'll receive him today. We're almost done. How about that? So then, Paul writes, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Now listen to this. The Christian life is a fight. There's a battle waging, okay? Enemy, world, flesh, all trying to pull you off course. Here's the good news. In the Gospel of John, Jesus himself said this, I know those who are mine, they are in my hand and no one can snatch them out. He said, not only are they in my hand, they're in the Father's hand, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so the enemy may come at you, the world may come at you, your flesh may come at you, but here's the victory. Nothing can trump what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Nothing can trump his resurrection from the grave. Nothing. Nothing is greater. Bring on everything the enemy has. He still is defeated. Bring on everything the world has. It will still fade away. Bring on everything your flesh has. They'll put it in a box. But Jesus lives today. Hear this. Therefore, chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Please hear the Word of God today. Last night at Godstock, after worship, as Pastor Steve was going up, a dear brother of mine who I've known for many years came over and he found me and we were standing against the truck and we're just talking. And he's in tears and he's in wrenching pain and he's struggling. And I'm like, what's going on? He said, man, all throughout worship, I have felt so unworthy. And this guy's a believer and has been a believer for many years. And God used him to bless people's lives and bring people to Christ. But he said, I felt so unworthy. And I felt so nasty and so defiled and so dirty. I knew what had happened. The enemy had spoken a lie into his mind. It's the same lie he brings at me. It's the same lie he brings at you. You're not good enough. You're dirty. Jesus didn't pay enough for you to be clean. And so, I mean, we didn't counsel. We prayed. And I just prayed, Lord Jesus, right now, I pray you'd remove the lie from his mind and replace it with your truth. You know what happened? In an instant, he changed. Why? Because God removed the lie from his mind and replaced it with his truth and allowed this man to focus on God's truth as opposed to the lie that the enemy had thrown at him. And his countenance changed. His posture changed. Everything about him in that instant changed. Because why? He was reminded of Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How much condemnation is there for those who are in Christ Jesus? How much condemnation is there for those who are in Christ Jesus? You know why? Because all that sin in you, it was condemned on Christ. All that sin in you, it was poured out on Jesus. Every bit of it. Every sin in thought, word, deed, action, attitude, sins of omission, sins of commission, poured out on Christ. And it was condemned. And because it was condemned in Christ, there is no condemnation that remains for you who are in Christ. None. And so when the enemy brings that sin from many years ago back up to bear and it keeps you awake at night and you're tossing and you're turning and you can't get it out of your head, I want you to remember there is no condemnation, for all the condemnation was put on Christ at the cross. Every ounce of it. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In Christ, I'm no longer a slave to the enemy. In Christ, I'm no longer a slave to the world. In Christ, I am no longer a slave to my flesh that wants it to feel good for a minute. In Christ, I've been forgiven of my sin, and I've been set free to live. And that's where we are today. That if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, please hear this and please be encouraged. There is no condemnation for you. None. Sure, there's a little. None. Not for that. None. No condemnation. But I got to tell you the flip side. If you are not in Christ, if you do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing but condemnation for you. Jesus says those who haven't believed in Him, He said this, those who don't believe in Me, said Jesus, stand condemned already. Because they have not believed in Him who was sent. And so if you're in Christ, no condemnation. If you're not in Christ, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you've never fallen on your knees before God and said, Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner, but I also confess You're a Savior. Come into my life, forgive me of my sin, cleanse me, be my Lord and Savior. Then there is nothing but condemnation for you. And again, that is a hard teaching. But I would rather you be offended now than at the gates of heaven. I would rather you be offended now than on judgment day. I'd rather you hate me than have to spend eternity in hell. And so today we're going to have an altar. And we're going to give you an opportunity to come. And I want you to know, all weekend long, people have been giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ left and right. And that's not because we're great. That's because God's great. That's because God's great. And I have a hunch that there's somebody in this room right now that God is speaking to your heart. And He's saying, today is the day of salvation for you. Today is the day. If you're a believer, start praying even now for that person or those people, whoever they are, that today might be the day of salvation when they would receive Christ as Lord. God might be speaking into your heart that it's time to be baptized. Maybe you received Christ some time ago and you never have been baptized. And maybe you need to be like Charles today and walk up and say, it's time to do it now. I believe God will bless that. Or maybe you're like me. You're a follower of Jesus. You've received Christ. You've been baptized. You've been walking with Christ for a while. And man, it's a struggle. Seems like every day some other new temptation comes at you. Seems like every day some new struggle with sin, some new sin is thrown at you that you got to deal with now. And maybe you need to come and give that temptation over to God and say, God, I can't deal with it, but You can. And so we're going to have an altar. And I really want to encourage you, listen, it's not even 10:30 yet. We're going to get you out. You'll beat the crowd to Shoney's. Or Ryan's, wherever you're going. Take time for this. Take time to deal with God today. Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray, and when I get done praying, we're going to open this altar up, and you come. Whatever God's asking you to do. Father, I believe that today you've spoken to us, not because of me, but in spite of me. And I believe, Father, that your word is powerful, and you tell us that your word will not return void. And so, Lord, right now, if there are any in this room who do not have a relationship with you, Lord Jesus, who have never repented of their sin and invited you to be their Lord and Savior, I pray you draw them. That today would be the day of salvation, because tomorrow may not come. I pray for any who haven't been baptized, who are believers, who need to take that step of obedience and profess their faith in the risen Jesus, that they would come. And I pray, Lord, for those of us who just struggle, that we would come and bow our knee before an almighty God and submit our lives fully and completely to you. That we might realize in the midst of the struggle, the victory has already been won. And so, Lord, whatever you're asking each of us to do right now, I pray very simply that we would do it. Don't let us run from you, Lord. Don't let us run away from what you're calling us to. But bring us, Lord, that we might be transformed. In Jesus' name, this altar is open. Please come.